and sit in with a fine gentleman whose identity, due to certain confidentiality, we keep unknown to the general public. The voice which speaks for itself. Greetings, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You've journeyed, and it's that journey we just want to tap on a bit. What started your journey, and where are we now?
Well, I started in the federal system in early 1982. I'm currently doing a 29-year sentence for robberies. I'm beyond parole till 2011, and they've been asked to talk about the halfway house situation and alternative to justice. For me, halfway houses are a necessity to ones that really need it. When they first came out with halfway house concept in the 70s, they were only meant to be for people who needed it, but over a period of 10-15 years, then they started to switch that they wanted everybody in halfway houses before they released them on full parole. Me, I'm against that, because if you already have a place to go, you've already established yourself in the community, you can function normally on the street, then what's the sense of a person going to a halfway house? If a person doesn't have anything, then I feel it's necessary that they go to a halfway house, because then they can learn about how to function day to day. Because a lot of guys have been in the system for a long time, and even in the women's system, they've been in there for such a long time. When you come out, if you spent many years inside, everything's changed. Like, a lot of people don't even know how to use a bank card or even been on the internet. Actually, it was a year ago, it was the first time I ever was on the internet. So that was like, people would say, wow, this guy's never been on the internet, right? And so there's a lot of advantages to going to a halfway house, but I feel that going to a halfway house is not should be mandatory. If you can function normally on the street, you should be put on full parole.
If I understand you clearly, being in the inside for so long with these limitations, mm-hmm. coming out and finding yourself going into a semi-institution mm-hmm. is mind-boggling. Is that how you're looking at things?
Yeah. That's why they call it halfway houses, because you're halfway out, but you're still halfway in. Right? And that's my opinion. A lot of people would disagree with that. And I'm pertaining to people that work for CSC, that they feel that everybody should go through halfway houses. Of all the people I've met throughout the years, only a handful have ever made it right from prison on to full parole.
What is their marketing? Why? What do they say? What is so good in this institution that they speak about?
Because they want to monitor to you. They want to see how well you do once you're out of a prison system and into the community. For me, I had relatively ease to adjust into society. Like, I hear guys saying, well, there's no work for me, I got a record. I've never had a problem getting a job. I have a full-time job now, and it only took me a matter of days to get a job.
Well, come to that, what are some of the conditionalities when you stay in this half where institutions? What are some of the distasteful conditions placed on somebody who is deemed to be, you know, free to walk back into society?
Yeah.
What are some of the limitations?
Well, you have to be in the halfway house for 6 hours during the week, like each day, and you have to call in. If you sign out to go somewhere, you have to go to that place, and if you change, you have to phone the halfway house saying, this is where I am. If you're on a weekend pass, which I am now, I have to call in 3 times a day and tell them where I'm calling from. And if it's during the week and you call in, they ask you what phone number that you're calling from, so they know exactly where you are, because what happens at the end of the month, they record everything, and they know exactly where you're calling from. So if you give them a wrong number, they'll know exactly that you're lying. Right? And like the halfway house I'm at right now is actually pretty good. Right? Like I've known the staff there for a lot of years, and they've been really supportive of me throughout all this.
But let's come to these getting a pass. You're allowed to go out, presumably to interact with relatives, friends, and to somehow be yourself in a free moment. And then all these conditions are pleasant to you. Yeah. What are the consequences in the event, for instance, you get to a place where you can't use a phone to call? What are the consequences?
Well, depending on the circumstances, either nothing will happen, or they can have a warrant sent issued for your arrest. Like, these are all possibilities. If you're past your curfew, they put a warrant out for your arrest. Like, even if you're, unless you phone ahead saying, let's say you're on a highway and your car breaks down, and then that's justifiable because things happen. But if you don't bother calling in and you're late, then they automatically within 10 minutes put a warrant out for your arrest. They're really strict on the curfews, and they want to know your whereabouts. It's twofold. It's one to protect society, and it's also protect the individual, because if something happens, they say, well, no, he was at this place at this time, so it couldn't have been him. Because that's happened to me because of me doing bank robberies. If there's a rash of bank robberies, and they know, okay, this certain person's in town, where was he when these bank robberies occurred? Right? So they can go back and check their files and say, okay, this person was here. So,
But let's talk about the healing process itself. As you correctly said in your opening statement, or somewhere in between, when you're in that long, you basically lose sight of what's happening, what's in the end. What kind of resource development, training, or assistance do this halfway house give to residents, if there's any?
Well, they do have programs, but that's only if you're requested to take them. And I'm not requested to take any programs, because I've basically completed everything that you can complete. As far as finding work or doing up a resume, you got to do that on your own. You get no help.
While we understand that with all the limitations and the conditions placed, that basically it is geared to developmental training.
There is no training. It's up to the individual.
So basically, the quote-unquote halfway houses is just a monitoring center?
That's all it is. That's all a halfway house is. At one time, 15, 20 years ago, there was employment right through the halfway houses. There was training if you didn't know how to do up a resume. But they expect all that to be done before you get out through programs inside the institutions.
Wow.
So to for me, it's just more of a monitoring than anything else. They want to see how you function day to day. That's all halfway house does. As far as helping you to reintegrate to society, it's sort of like sitting on 50-50, depending which way you look at it. If I had nothing, if I had no friends, or I didn't know anybody, or I didn't have any family, then a halfway house would be perfect for me. But as far as the way I see it, once you accomplish what you need to accomplish, you should be sent away from a halfway house and put on full parole, because then there's no reason for it, because there's tons of guys waiting to go to halfway houses, but there's no beds.
Where would they be waiting?
Inside the prisons. I've actually one time waited over 2.5 months after getting paroled to get out, because there was no beds available where I wanted to go. And they have different halfway houses too, and some are better than others, right? I'm not going to mention any names, but it's like a crapshoot. If you either get a good one or you get a bad one. Like, the worst one I was ever in was one in British Columbia, and I lasted there for 4 days, and I said, enough of this. The first, when they gave you the room, it had no curtains on it. The bed had so much stains on it, you didn't want to sleep on it. The drawers didn't open on the closet, and the food was not worth mentioning. But, and you know, what's really funny is that how much money is given to different halfway houses, because it's standard across the board. It doesn't matter what province you're in or what territory you're in, everybody gets the same amount for the halfway house. And my big question is to a lot of where's all the money going, right? And I think there should be accountability, not only with CSC, but with the halfway houses themselves. I've heard reports of different halfway houses that were put under investigation because monies that were just disappearing.
How much of freedom in terms of freedom of speech when you're within these halfway houses, how much can you question about the issues that transpired within that little fence area? How much of freedom do the inmates have?
They do have grievance processes where if you have a complaint, you can put it in. But generally, you soak up a lot of it because you know that you don't want to cause too much of a riff, because then they can turn around saying that you are determined not to live up to your parole conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You become negative in their eyes. Right? Basically, what it comes down to, if you're a problem, they're just going to get rid of you.
You're in Toronto right now visiting
a
friend of yours. You're working down the street or using the public transportation,
so
whatever. Having that impact of payroll and the conditions plays upon you, how do you function?
I function normally. Like, because the way I see it, when I'm away from the halfway house, it's my time. It's my freedom. I have the right to choose. You know? On my parole conditions are really minimal. Right? I don't have a drinking restriction, so if I want to go out and with dinner with the family or with a friend, and if I want to have a glass of wine, I can have a glass of wine. But when I'm at the halfway house, it's a different story, because you can't drink while you're at the halfway house. But on the weekends, that's my time, and I make those decisions for myself. And so it goes down to, for 5 days a week, I'm at the halfway house, generally only to sleep, because I work 5 days a week. And when I come home on the weekends, it's my time. All I got to do is phone in 3 times a day.
Right? So you go to work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That means, as you just clearly stated, you just come to sleep.
Yeah,
so there's ain't much really to be done there.
No.
What you're saying, you can be with friends and family and still follow whatever rules and regulations that are imposed on you, and somehow give your reintegration a process much faster.
Yes, yes. And that's the whole concept of the weekend passes, is to better reintegrate and get less dependent on the halfway house. Like, I've known guys that don't leave the halfway house. They're so scared of society that they just don't leave, because they've been, in a form, institutionalized, and they want to be told what they have to do. I'm not like that. I'm the type of person that, it's my life, I want to take charge of it. And if I have the opportunity to do that, that's what I'll do.
I'm one, call me cynic, but the criminal justice system, especially in the Western world, have actually forgotten the impact of community rehabilitation, community treatment. They have this adversary condition. And we know in North America, the prison system has become one of the fastest growing industry. Are they missing something about actually the halfway house versus community integration, because a lot of law enforcement promoters also create this monster about who is coming out from prison and how society should be very careful, how they have to be monitored. What would you say to that?
Well, it all depends on how high profile the person is that's coming out of prison. Like, for me, and what happened to me when I was younger, sex offenders, for me, should be more monitored when they're out. And that's my opinion because of what I went through. As far as what impact the community has on the running of the halfway house and what purpose that they serve, for me, the halfway houses themselves serve only a purpose up to a little bit of what they should be doing. And it shouldn't be a money-making investment, and that's what you're getting at, that CSC and the federal system in the States, it's all money-making to them. It's a big business. When a guy leaves a prison, they got something to replace that. So the status quo is always the same or higher. I really don't understand when they say that the crime rate in Canada has dropped, but the prison rate's increased, right? Because what it is it's like if you get sentenced to so many years, more than likely you're going to be going back in and out, sometimes for nothing, for missing your curfew, or someone said that they saw you with somebody that had a criminal record. They don't have to have any proof. They just basically say, I saw such and such a person. Oh, he just violated his parole. Right? So they bring him back, and they keep him for 3 or 4 or 6 months, and then they let him back out again. Hmm. It's just like people in society think that when guys go back to prison that they've committed a crime. Actually, that's not the case, because only very few that actually go back to the prison system while on parole actually commit crimes. Usually it's breach of their parole conditions. And to me, that's not right. Like, the whole idea is that eventually whoever is doing time will not be doing time. And if you're deemed that you're a low risk to society, then you should be given ample opportunity to prove that and not be worried about, okay, if I do something like this, or if I say something wrong, I'm going to be sent back. Right? That's not the way to approach it. Like, as for me, even the police never opposed my last couple of releases.
Okay.
Because they know that, and everybody knows that my life of crime is over with. There's other issues that surround my childhood for a lot of years that I'm addressing now, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here in Toronto, because if the parole board says that a person needs to be taken care of with, if he has a disorder or something, mm-hmm. that you got to get the treatment. You can't put a Band-Aid on a major problem, and that's the problem with a lot of the programs that they have. Is that
Let's hold it right there. You were pretty young. Yeah. Like, that's not an excuse to get into any altercation with the law. But do you think somehow the government institutions and this monstrous prison justice system failed you somewhere?
Yeah, they failed me for over 20 years because they kept diagnosing me incorrectly. It's like everybody had a different opinion of me and what I suffered from, and it took me to go to a far-off place and to get diagnosed correctly, and it changed my world. But it took somebody almost outside of the system to help me.
Do you mind sharing what kind of...
Well, I was diagnosed with severe post-traumatic stress disorder. Because I went through, I was sexually abused, physically, and mentally tortured for from the age of 7 on to the age of 16. And so a lot of the memories that had occurred to me, I regressed. And it came to the point where I didn't trust anybody in authority. And I reacted in a very negative manner, very self-destructive. I called it social suicide,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when I started getting into criminal involvement, it wasn't for the sake of paying for drugs or anything like that. I've never done drugs in my life, even when I was in the prison system. Mm-hmm. It was just a way for me to, because I was full of so much hate inside of me that I wanted to just lash out at anybody in authority.
And was this made known during these early troubling periods? Were you able to tell any professional that you were going such a thing, and did they believe you?
Well, it started in 99 when I actually got a good psychologist that I felt enough to trust them, because we had confidentiality. And I started telling them about what took place with me, and it started from there. And so from 1982 to 1999, there was relatively no change in me. It wasn't until 99 that the big change started, and it's basically progressed throughout for the last 5 years.
Hmm.
Actually going on 6 now.
How much of community, friends, and relatives' involvement have helped you heal and to get where you are today, comfortable with yourselves in a way?
Well, for the last, I would have to say for about the last 2 years, right? Through people in Alberta and through my fiance and her family and people within the community, directly with CSC and away from CSC, have helped me out greatly.
Who is CSC for our listeners who might not know?
For the halfway house.
Halfway house.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of people that took interest in my case, right? And mainly because I kept it to the forefront, because this is what I demanded, right? That, you know, these things happen, and I want to get better from it. And if you don't give me what I need to relieve what's inside of me, then I said, who knows? I might end up in a nut house, right? And I don't want that. So,
have you, during this flight, do you see yourself becoming more of an advocate in seeking justice, not just for you, but for the broader society, so that what happened to you should not happen to somebody else in the future?
You know, I'm very strong against anything that's done to a child or to a woman. I'm very outspoken about sex offenders because people that abuse me never done a day in jail. They're either passed on now, but they were never brought to justice.
That's where we also come to the criminal justice system. What's your overall estimation of both the criminal justice system and the so-called justice system, the legal system?
Well, it goes back to a lot of the legal aid that they have. That's actually where the whole thing starts. And if you don't have money, you're going to do time. The people with money don't do a lot of time or don't do any time at all. And that's what I see within the system, that the sentencing itself, too, is something that goes from one end to the other. Like, a person could commit the same crime, and depending on what nationality you are, it varies. I know one guy who got 7 years for a B&E. He was an Aboriginal guy in Alberta, and of course, everybody told him to appeal, and he did, and they gave him like 6 months. But it's just that there's no regulation on how much time that you receive. Like, I'm doing more time than some of you who would have killed someone. But I'm not justifying that for my own actions, right? Because what I've done is what I've done. I got to pay the consequences for it. But I also say, when's enough? Right? And it's just that the system needs to be looked at more on a level playing field and not by your color of your skin or what beliefs that you have or the status quo. Right?
Would you envision that? You think such a possibility we are called in our society? And what would it take for it to happen?
Well, with a lot of the media, a lot of people expect as soon as a person's arrested that they're actually guilty of the charge. And a prime example is just look at all the people who have been incarcerated for long periods of time and then find out that they weren't even involved in any of the crimes that were taking place. To change it, you need to start at the very top and look at the laws themselves.
When you sit down some time and look back to 19 years, when you were 19, and today, do you think you lost a lot of life's enjoyment? And what kind of remorse do you have when you look back to those things?
Well, you can't get back what's already gone. You can only look forward to the future. And for me, I have a zest for life. The hang-ups that would bother the average person don't bother me, because once you have your freedom taken away and you get that freedom back, you hold on to it and you treasure it. When I can walk out and go grab a coffee, or I can go for a walk in a park, or even just stand around and see different people, that's something that most people just walk by through life without even really noticing. I notice everything. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody jokes with me because I have such a photographic memory. Mm-hmm. And for my future, it's only going to be uphill. Right? Because there's no going back for me. Right? Mm-hmm. There comes a point when you just get burnt out with the whole system. And that's where I'm at. Like, I'll finish off my sentence and do what I have to do.
Before we get back to the actual issue of the Hapwira saga, the so-called officers within the prison system, they themselves, as is reported by some people who have passed through, somehow are forced to become part of the creation of that crime. They become big bullies. What kind of control mechanism can actually enhance till whatever liberty it is, if it's just the liberty of safe environment, what can be done to take that big bulliness away from officers who use other inmates to punish other inmates somehow?
Well, it goes down to when they hire staff, they better really do a good psych test on them, because a lot of them were pretty screwed up in the head. And if people have kept the news in the last 2 or 3 years, like what happened in Kingston Penitentiary, the guards being charged and the couple that committed suicide because they got found out, to me, I do respect the law. Right? Like, if a policeman is on one side and doesn't go both, hey, you know, that's what they're there for. But if you have a person that plays both sides of the fence, they do deserve to be dealt with in the most harshest of manners, because they're supposed to represent what's good in society, not what's bad. They do have a lot of control. A lot of the older guards that when I first started doing time have now all been retired, but there's a lot of power and control. Some of them think that they can come to work and just be really sadistic towards certain individuals within the system, And it all depends on which security that you're at. The higher security, it's worse. What can be done to fix that problem is better training and better monitoring. Like, there's got to be what they have in place right now with the correctional investigator. It's just smoke and mirrors. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked in years. The one time in one institution, the person came in for and spent 3 days listening to all the complaints, and not one of them was ever addressed because they don't have no authority. Right? CSC holds authority, and until there's a better watchdog that can monitor what goes on inside the prisons, and things aren't going to get changed, they're just going to get worse. And we're end up going into more of a United States way of dealing with the prisons. And if you look at the record of how many people are doing time in the States, right, it's horrendous. It's just a big money maker. And when they have these new concepts of prisons for profit, it just says it right there. It's just a form of slavery, right?
It's being directly marketed from Big Brother America. Yeah.
It's called the stock market.
Yes. The mega prisons that they're experimenting. Let's conclude somehow on the issue of halfway houses. You've eloquently dealt with the issues surrounding it and why you deem it to be improper. If you were doing a recommendation a committee of also institutionalized representatives, whether they want to hear it or not.
Yeah.
What are some of the key factors you want to put in there? What are the immediate changes that will help enhance the well-being of inmates that are coming out and integrating into society again?
Well, first of all, they got to have programs that can help a person live on the street. And not into a band-aid solution. If a person's come out of the system, has been in the system for a very long time and has a lot of trauma, those issues also have to be addressed. As far as education, I'm really avid for education, that a lot of guys are getting out with minimum, only of a grade 10 education, and that's not adequate in society. Because most jobs require that you at least have your grade 12. And so education, employment, more community involvement, and looking at halfway houses for what good that they can do, not just another way of housing an individual over a period of time. Better monitoring within the halfway houses, that things that they're being paid to do are getting done. And to me, if those changes are in effect, and being the fact that not everybody needs to go to a halfway house, right? Like, if you're going to spend money, spend the money on the people that really need it, not with the people that don't need it. Put more, if they don't want to do that, or at least say, okay, if you go to halfway house for a 3 month period and we see that everything's going good, then we're going to let you out on your full parole. Right? Not to keep you in a halfway house for a year and a half or 2 years. Right? And there's actually been cases where guys have been in there for a lot longer, but it also depends on what you were convicted for, too.
So basically, again, I think one of the things I've heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, is that after years of being within that institution, you come again regardless of what, as long as you are deemed to those conditionalities, you are actually still dependent. And it's that dependency that brings the mind-boggling. You are seeking that, not free life, but at least a very independent life by allowing that person to go move on.
Yeah.
And that if I told you something for a halfway house, if someone is coming out with no relatives, it can just be a temporary issue until they get themselves established.
And that's the whole idea, what the concept of a halfway house was originally for. It was to help a person build up a support network within the community and move on. Because if he's out in a halfway house, he's out there in society. If he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, society has no fears. Right? But it shouldn't solely be used for monitoring situation. If a person doesn't need it, then they shouldn't be there. Right? And it goes right down to a lot of people are missing the picture that if you're already out in the community, then someone assumed that you're low risk. And the idea is to encourage proper and more very highly motivated individuals.
What would you say about Prisoner Justice Day?
Well, being it was in the system when the prison justice system was just, when Justice Day was just starting up, there's a lot of people I've met that are no longer of this world, and they've died in one way or form or another, and people have made sacrifices to make changes to the system. It's something that can be used not only within the system but also within society, that a lot of people have made sacrifices. And it's those people who have made the sacrifices that that I personally honor. And so even though I'm out here in society, that was part of my life. I can't just forget about it.
Is there something you have within you that you want to share that I forgot to ask you? And this is of a personal note too on your issue of the sexual abuse that led into the issues, your medical issues. Have you thought, or is there an entity that you can take action against to remedy or to in terms of restitution?
Well, I've actually have taken it to court, and I can't really talk about it, but it, most of it's been dealt with.
Yes.
And they recognized that what had occurred, right? And to me, the monetary wasn't the big deal for me. It was having them say, okay, we believe that this took place and that we're sorry. Like the Prime Minister of Canada stood up and said in Parliament that we're sorry a couple months ago about the people who were at the residential schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took them 25 years after the fact to get up and say, you know.
Is there anything you want to conclude with, whether it's to your community support, your friends that have stood by you during this journey? A final word?
Well, personally, I'd like to thank each and every one of them, and they all know who they are, and they're all, I know that they're listening to this now. and I just want to say, you know, like, you weren't wrong. Right? You made a good choice. And I have a lot to give back to society, right? Because I got a lot in my heart, and the people that really know me know exactly what I'm talking about.
And thank you for your time.
I thank you.